Richard Tuttle's artwork has always been somewhat difficult to classify. It has included paintings, drawings, prints, sculpture, books, and furniture, and has ranged in scale from tiny objects to large public murals. And as a result, it's been called offbeat, idiosyncratic, and iconoclastic. His latest show, titled What's the Wind, consists of large freestanding sculptures called systems, and it's being described as both an expansion of and a departure from the work he's done over the past 5 decades. It opens this Saturday at the Pace Gallery on 25th Street, and I'm very pleased to welcome Richard Tuttle to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
People often describe you as a post-minimalist. Are you okay with that?
It kind of works, but I find it's extremely important to recognize there's a great social revolution that happens between what we call a minimal art, which is the end of a historic cycle, and what my generation started, which was a completely new historic cycle. But it's one of the quietest revolutions that had such extraordinary impact. And I think a colleague of mine, Bruce Nauman, said it very best in those years when he saw my work. He said, "I see something in it that is not minimal." And whether that should be called post-minimal or not, it's up to you.
Well, everything post just simply means after, and then you start wondering, well, who else do we include in that?
Yeah,
and
that
becomes a big problem. But you've said that the job of the artist is to come up with ideas of how the mystic can be accommodated.
Oh, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
Would other artists agree with that, do you think?
I think they would in if they were in my shoes, of course. But I think my latest favorite idea is that the artist's job is that of trying to allow the light that is in everything, including ourselves, to come out. If you look at the great mystic artists of the past, it is sort of like that, you know.
Well, Madeline Grinstein has placed you within the tradition of American Transcendentalism.
Okay.
Or maybe we could make you a post-transcendentalist.
Are you trying to create
a mystical experience for the viewer?
Not precisely, because I think what an artist gets an artist out of bed in the morning is the possibility of actually making something that has infinite meanings or can be infinite things. And so the hardest job is to actually stop short yourself of making any particular meaning. I mean, they always ask artists, you know, like,
what does it mean?
Your show or something like that, you know. But they're the last people to ask, not the first.
Well, if it has one meaning, then you could probably write it instead of. And anyway, this is a visual thing. It's hard to. That's why so many poets became art critics, because it was thought that they perhaps could capture in words this visual experience.
Well, I think the strange thing about the visual arts is that they're really about the invisible, not the visible. And so if you tell that to the poet who wants to be a critic, you know, that we're on the right track. Yeah.
Many artists work within a particular style or a certain format for most of their careers, or at least for long stretches. But you seem to continually be changing direction from sculpture to works on paper, or from very small to quite large. How do those things come about? Do you you finish a show and say, like a novelist would say, well, that takes care of that now. What do I want to do next?
Oh yeah, it's sort of like that. I mean, there's a pendulum, but I think that I'm very proud of this show we're about to open, because I really feel for the first time in my life I've come close to saying everything I want to say. In a detail, one of course has satisfaction of you've achieved that, but here's a case where, one of my big problems was, could always say, cutting the umbilical cord. I found it very, very difficult to let release works off into the world. And now I see that's because they didn't. I didn't feel that I had said everything I wanted to say in those pieces, so I tended to want to hold them back. And now there's this change where, and in some sense, I always predicted that my life work would come to fruition in the last segments, you know.
Well, artists are always anxious before an exhibit because they always feel that they didn't really do exactly what they had hoped to do, or people won't get it. Yeah. That's just part of the problem of being an artist, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But this work, I kind of shocked my dealer, Arnie Glimcher, when he said, gave me this date. And I said, oh, that's very exciting. It'll be effortless. And he was sort of shocked.
And then Arnie says, I'm not sure. I think I need more time.
Yeah.
These are called systems?
Systems, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it's a play on the general use of systematology, that if the viewer could make them into systems, I would be convinced that then we're in a field where systems actually, the meaning of the word can be used effectively for them and for systems. So it's a at the end of the system, each one has a special title that range from the first one's called Cheap Face. There's one called Bumblebee, Hummingbird, I'm sorry, and another one called Winter.
Another one, Measurement.
Yeah, so the whole titles juxtapose quite radical conflicts, or suggest a kind of...
Well, your last show was at the Pace, consisted of long wall pieces made of cloth with grommets.
Yeah.
This time you're showing these large freestanding sculptures. Mm. Do you see a connection between the two?
Very much so. My program, there's a young woman in Switzerland who said, if you look at my work over 50 years, you can impose a spiral over it and see it's developing from a kind of center on out, and you can make radiance from the center point, and you'll find a remarkable connection between all of these pieces. So I'm really trying to invent a kind of cosmos that, I mean, it's not because I think I'm that great. It's because I think it's a feasible thing for a human being to take to do.
Especially when you have a large body of work. People can start seeing the conversation that develops between the one group and the next group.
Yes, and the large numbers is, I think it is an important part, because in the end, how an artist can participate in a democracy is through numbers.
Well, when you first were on the scene, the Whitney gave you a major show in 1975, and that was controversial, and not that Hilton Kramer was friendly to any abstract artist, but he gave you a terrible review, which led, I gather, to the firing of the curator, Martha Tucker.
Okay, yeah.
And then the Whitney gave you another show just a few years back.
Yeah.
So do you think people are getting it now?
We're all who we are. We're all limited. But then we have to live in face of universal forces. And we... The interaction that either goes well or not so well or horribly, the interesting thing for me about the Marcia Tucker of 76 Whitney show is that we still don't understand what the forces that were at play were. Everybody read them as a kind of a classic anti-avant-garde, and that's even Hilton's review was read that way. But there was a major shift you know, revealed itself throughout the 80s, where my work was used as a kind of whipping post for issues that had nothing to do with my work. You know? And so, I mean, it's a baffle of confusion that
I once had an art teacher who said, if you go to the Whitney Biennial, should write down the names of all the artists who outrage you and all the artists who enthrall you. And he said, you can mix them up because some will be on one person's list, some will be on the other. And it's all the ones in the middle who really will be forgotten very soon. Because you both enthralled and outraged, that says something about where you stand in the art world. You should take it as a compliment.
I mean, it is about communication, and in the end, you're going to stand there waving your hands around, you know, because you want to have something to say. And so, I'm the kind of artist who says, well, what does my group or what does this time lack, and then try to make something that fills that in. And of course, people are shocked because they don't want to feel that there's anything missing, you know, in the first place. So,
Your show is called What's the Wind?
What's the significance
of that?
I've been writing poetry, I'm embarrassed to say, because my wife is one of the great poets, and two poets in the same household is tough. Philosophy is important, and we don't really know what philosophy is. So like, we know there's a room of philosophy, but no one has ever filled that. One of the origins of philosophy in Western tradition are the East Greeks, you know, who said, what is fire? You know, what is earth? What is water? I think the title is connected to those questions, yeah.
We have a slideshow on our webpage with images of the sculptures that are at the show at the Pace, which runs from May 7th through the 18th of June. And the Pace Gallery is at 510 West 25th Street. My great thanks to Richard Tuttle for coming by to talk about it.
Thank you.